What about the financial security for online shoppers in Spain? Is it something which is important for them? I mean, making sure that they're not losing their money, etc., by buying online.
A few years ago, yes, it was an issue.
Yeah.
But now, no. I think this issue, worry, it has completely disappeared. And moreover, with trusted shops, they have this warranty that they don't have perhaps with other solutions.
Exactly.
That this is a plus. For me, this is the key point.
Community of Trust with Jean-Marc Noël, founder and CEO of Trusted Shops. Real stories and ideas on inspiration, leadership and why trust is the key to success. Today's guest, Marius Rosse, CEO and founder of Trilogy.
Welcome to Community of Trust, the podcast where successful online businesses share real-world experiences and proven strategies to help you take your e-commerce business to the next level. I am Jean-Marc Noël. I'm the co-founder of Trusted Shops. And today, I'm speaking with Marius Rosse. Marius is the CEO of Trilogy. Trilogy is one of the largest e-commerce agency in Spain, sales finance, with more than 25 years experience. So basically you started when also we started with Trusted Shops. So welcome, Marius, to the podcast.
Good morning, Jean-Marc. Good morning. Thank you very much for interviewing me today. It's a pleasure.
So I think it would be... Marius is extremely knowledgeable about the Spanish market. So today in this episode, we will be talking about trust and we'll be talking about the market, especially in the Spanish market, in the e-commerce segment. So I think Marius, with all your experience, you will walk us through everything you did also with Trilogy. Huh? Mm-hmm. And of course, your Trilogy has been a Trusted Trust partners for a long time now.
12 years.
Well. So you have seen many challenges, and I'm really thrilled to hear from you. What is your insight and what you think? So the very first question is, tell us a little bit more about Trilogy. What, how you started the company, and why, or what makes you also unique?
Well, nah, good question. I need to think how I started this. No, it is easy. The name of Trilogy basically is because it's my third trying business.
Okay.
When I was, let's say, younger, I tried already two businesses that, well, the first one, it was quite good because I imported, that's very funny because I imported Dragon Ball stuff from Japan Spain. Yeah, it was the hype of Dragon Ball here, and they were an importer. So
you were 15?
I was 15, 16 years old. And actually, it was pretty successful inside my range
of
business that I could do. But then the second one, it was another thing that in the end, it didn't, I wasn't launched it. Mm-hmm. And the third is this one.
Yeah.
And it was
I think it's important also to learn
how and why
and things. And it probably was a good experience to, which probably led to Trilogy basically. I think.
Yeah. I saw that the need of buying things online, because on that time, imagine 97, 98, the only stuff that you could buy online, it was in the US. There were only also a few shops in the US. But I remember that I bought a few stuff for the company that I used to work. And then I said, that could be also another good opportunity to launch this in Spain. And then, well, in 1999, at the beginning, January, February, started building a software.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finished the software, I said, okay, now is the time to launch it. It was the end of 99, so it was December. Oh, now it's 26 years. Right now, it will be 26 years. And it came from a need, and it happened. So I set up this. I set up the agency on the software, because on that time, imagine, no agencies, no
So the
no
basis was software. Really technology
yeah,
for you at
yeah,
that
it
time.
Was technology. Yeah, I'm a tech background. And then we continued developing. Mm-hmm. The first years were very hard. Imagine the point is, I don't know if it's nice to say, but I set up the company before Google. And look Google where it is and look me where I am. No, nothing to compare. Well, perhaps also because we are in Spain. Spain is a small market. Mm. If I would have set up this in the US, probably I would be very big or disappeared also. You never know.
You never know. But that's already, I think you made a lot of, I mean, your 25 years experience in the Spanish market. So maybe tell us a little bit along the way to build this company, what were your biggest challenge, maybe your biggest failure or your biggest success? You know, how did you manage to create one of the largest agencies in Spain?
Constancy, persistency, that's, I think, is the key thing, and trustworthy. I think something that here we are sharing.
Exactly.
No? We are a service company. Trilogy is a service company. Then also we have Logic Commerce, right, which is the software company, but now they are completely separated. But being in a service company, customers need to trust you. You need to provide a good service, as the best as you can on each moment. You know that in the end, it's not easy because our services are based on people. Mm-hmm. So we need to take care of our people as much mm-hmm. as we can, because mm-hmm. they need to take care of our customers as well.
Of course.
So it's based on trust.
Of course. So when you started the company, how many people, you know, did you start by yourself, or how did that work? How were you in the garage of your parents? How did you do that?
Well, no, it's a friend of mine. He was a designer,
mm-hmm.
And then he let me like a space.
Okay. He gave you some space
yes,
to.
Yes.
Okay.
And at that time, I was working for another company because I had
of
to
course.
Earn money, I had to
of,
eat, and I had to
course.
Survive. And I was young also, so I wanted to go to party, I wanted to go, et cetera, you know, like all
of
the youngers.
Course,
but aside, I had this, started working on this, and
okay.
then I hired the first person. Well, I got a friend also invested in my idea, so he had another space. So then we hired another person, little by little, we started growing until now that we are...
You were always earning money and getting money?
No.
How did you do that?
I think that we break even in 2006 or 2007.
Okay.
It was the first time that we
okay.
break even.
Okay.
Until then, it was like
putting money from
the pocket.
What you, okay.
From the pocket as well. So some of the money that I earned in my side job, well, my
you invested
side
in
job,
your,
no, in my job, in my
yeah.
real job,
yeah, yeah.
then I maybe half of the money I invested in my company. Also
this.
To move the company ahead, believing that it would work.
I think it's a very important lesson to, and we see that it's a dedication. It's also believing in what you do and doing everything you can to make this a success and happen. So that I think it's very impressive.
And well, I mean, along this way, along these 6-7 first years, plus later on also, as every single customer company has that has up and downs.
Mm.
I wanted to throw the towel.
Of course.
Because, I mean, you are investing there and you know you don't know if it's going to be succeed. But well, finally, I could say that after 26 years.
And I think, Marius, this is really for our listeners here today. It's so important because sometimes you see a big company say, oh, that's so easy, it's fine. It's like, no, in every people and every time I'm talking to a founder or development or somebody like you who created, there are phases you just want to throw everything away. And but you stick to your dream and you stick to what you do and eventually you succeed. And this is one of the biggest lessons I think we can learn from entrepreneur like yourself.
Yeah. Work hard.
It's hard.
And play hard. Like
exactly.
I think David Guetta mentioned that one. I love that sentence.
So now let's talk a little bit about, you know, you have seen a lot of things in the Spanish e-commerce market, and I know you're not only in Spain, but you also expanded abroad and in China. But let's talk about Spain. What do you think if I'm an online retailer and I'm thinking about entering the Spanish market, for instance, what would be your recommendation, or what would you say these are the challenges I see in this market for mm-hmm. an online retailer?
I would expand this to other markets as well.
Okay.
So I think, and also that you mentioned in China, each market has their own
specificity,
specifications, mm-hmm. things, because every single market culturally is different, mm-hmm. not only for the language, mm-hmm. but also for the regions. And Spain perhaps is one of the countries that has these specifications, mm-hmm. unique specifications. Mm-hmm. In Catalonia, here, mm-hmm. in the area that we are, we speak Catalan, and the mm-hmm. way of doing is different than
in Madrid.
Than in Madrid, or okay. or Andalusia, or okay. in the north, Galicia. Yeah, and yeah. in the north, we have Galicia and Basque okay. country, and they are very different as well.
Are you suggesting we need to have, if I wanted to sell to Spain, I need to pay attention to the regional specificity?
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's not the same selling in Catalonia than selling in Galicia or selling Basque Country or in Madrid. Okay. Or the behaviors of the consumers are different.
Can you give one example? Where? How do you, you know, see that difference, for instance, between here in Barcelona and Catalonia or Andalusia or something yeah. like that?
For a foreign brand entering into Spain, yes. they need to see the brand physically on the street.
Ah, okay.
For example.
Okay.
If they see only online, it's more
it's not difficult. Trustworthy.
It's not something? Trustworthy. In the end, you know, so generating branding is very expensive, mm-hmm. but not only online, but also offline, because you need to be there.
Of course.
We have seen lately, and not only in Spain, but also in other markets, that when a brand enters into a country, what they do is they launch their physical stores in mm-hmm. the main streets, mm-hmm. so here in Barcelona, in Passeig de Gràcia or in Portal de l'Àngel, yeah? And then after 1, 2, 3 years or 5 years, they close it because they got that branding and then they can enter easily or they have already entered. So I think this is very general, not only for Spain, that we have this particularities, but also in other countries.
Of course, but I'm of course interested. We're today in Barcelona. I'm interested to really get a feel of the Spanish consumer and Spanish shopper. So, would you say I get that there are regional differences, but overall, are they comfortable buying online? Do they need a high level of confidence moving forward? What is important for a brand to show in order to attract new customer or keeping existing customer?
Spain has one of the things that whole Europe love, which is the sun.
The sun, yeah.
The sun, the weather.
Yes, I noticed that today. I was looking at this, you know, Phil told me, what is this strange yellow ball in the sky? Something we don't see in Cologne.
Yeah. My wife always says that the sun here always win.
Always win, okay.
There are clouds, but at the end of the day, you get the sun. No?
So what does that mean?
The people love going out on shopping.
Shopping, okay.
Yeah, on the streets, and the people are on the streets, and not only in the bars, but also shopping. So the connection between the on and off, it's super important.
So the omni-channel, if it's
a place that the omni-channel happens, is here.
It's here, okay.
Yes, and we set up a lot of the e-shops that we are setting up are omni-channel, connecting perfectly the on and off. Okay. And this is one of the characteristics that we have here. Yeah. So this needs to be understood that people not only buy online, and it's true that the behavior of the consumers, and perhaps Spain was one of the latest countries in entering the consumers, in entering, in buying massively online, but it's happening and it will happen more, but perhaps less than other countries because of the weather.
Because of the weather. That's interesting. Now, you mentioned it's also a matter of perspective, making sure that the brand is trustworthy and understanding. What is the value of things like reviews, for instance, in the Spanish market? Are they important? Are the people looking at those? And if yes, what would you recommend for an online retailer in this perspective?
It's a must. It's definitely a must. although sometimes it's tricky, mm-hmm. and we know how these ratings work, especially for bars, restaurants, mm-hmm. or hotels.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's tricky because people sometimes they don't face it, no? You are physically there, they don't face this, like, hey, you have there, you can complain there, no? Oh, yes. I mean, better you solve this in person, no? But it's important because people trust more on this, ratings and comments. Mm. This is very important. Mm. Mm. And once, I guess that you know more than me, but the cycles of loyalty, it's first family, then friends, then influencers or KOLs, and then other people. So based on this, our customers, the retailers or even B2B, that maybe we can talk about B2B, they should have this and control it very well and act on this.
Now let's speak about, we witness currently a massive shift with AI. AI is changing the way people search, the way people compare products, the way people even buy. What do you think is, especially in the Spanish market, the impact of AI? And what would you recommend to online retailers who just want, I think many are asking the question, what does that mean for my brand in this new world of AI? What should I do there?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, don't get crazy for that.
Yeah.
Because these big companies, mm-hmm. They want that we go faster, and they try to eat our brain, that this is a need, that if you are not there, you will miss the moment and these things. It's not going to happen like that, fortunately, And also, consumers and brands put the piece on these things. But I compare these to other technologies that appeared all these years, like the Facebook shop, Instagram shop, the metaverse that had to kill everything. And I even mentioned that would work. No, so not working. I don't know if it's going to work. Apparently, seems that yes, that it will happen. What we are seeing is a shift from Google to AI tools, ChatGPT, Perplexity, others, because we are seeing that the traffic more and more comes from the AI. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if the purchasing process is going to happen in the AI, this is something that we don't know. I'm not sure at all. Mm. Perhaps if we compare, I think the biggest competitor of Amazon is the AI.
Probably OpenAI.
But not the retailer.
Yeah.
Mm. Otherwise, the retailers, brands, miss that connection with the consumers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So then go to Amazon.
Of course. What do you have some recommendation, concrete recommendation about for a retailer who said, okay, I'm not sure, what should I do? Are there some tools or something I need to, because as you mentioned, the traffic coming from Google is changing and we have noticed, for instance, that since Google introduced this AI overview, for instance, the conversion on the links it's half of what it was usually. And if you think about the incredible adoption of OpenAI, I mean, it took, I think, 2 months to hit 100 million users. I mean, it's something that was never there. So, and I think many of our listeners think about, okay, what should I do right now? Do you have a recommendation or say, okay, have a look at this and these tools? What would you say?
Well, there is a bunch of AI tools right now in the market for B2B, for B2C.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say more for B2B than for B2C. And we are getting very specialized on that. Yeah. 2 years ago, when the AI erupted completely in the market, I told all my staff, they said, hey, we need to hack the AI tools. Mm-hmm. And we need to use a tool for every single thing that we are doing, for improving productivity, etc. But for our customers, for B2Cs and B2Bs, they need to also use it as much as they can.
Do you have a favorite tool or something you could recommend? Say, oh, have a look at that tool, that was really good. So the people get, maybe after the podcast, can go and check on these tools.
Yeah. Not especially one.
Okay.
And the reason why is because for every single brand or company, there is a different tool that it works or it fits into them.
Of course.
And the reason why is because there isn't a tool that makes everything.
I think it's clear. I think it's more about trying and get a feel for what's going on, because it's not, oh, I've got the tool and that's it. I need to learn, and there is so much development. For instance, I can tell you, we've been experimenting with development tools like for the developers, with like Cursor or like Lovable, and we managed to create application within weeks, which would have taken for ages at the beginning. So I think, and we see today also great tool, especially looking for if you want to create text, if you want to create a marketing campaign, etc. There is a number of tools that can be used already today, and I think maybe after the podcast, then we can send a few tips for the people
at Logicommerce.
Logicommerce,
We have our own AI, and we are training our own AI that is doing specifically different things into our back office that helps our customers to operate faster, better, improving productivity, etc. But before, they were mentioning Lovable. The end, Lovable does what we all want. I mean, setting up a front end easily and fast, with Lovable, with some restrictions, obviously.
Of course.
So we will go beyond all these restrictions with Logicommerce, and we will be able to build a front end completely with conversational chat. Yeah.
Okay. So the first recommendation would be, hey, check on Logicommerce.
That would be the best one.
Okay, good. So let's look at something which is also very important for all our listeners, is mistakes. What was, if you look at the back of your career, what was one of your biggest mistakes? What did you learn about that?
My biggest mistake, well, there are many.
Let me put it that way. If you look back, would you do something differently?
Yes, you know? Yes. I would split Trilogy and Logicommerce way before.
Okay.
So I did it in 2018, and I think you have to
elaborate a little bit. So today, Trilogy, you have several businesses.
Yes. I have several businesses, but Trilogy and Logicommerce. Trilogy is the agency. Yeah. Logicommerce is the e-commerce software. Okay. They were together for many years. So only Trilogy installed Logicommerce, and Logicommerce could be only installed by Trilogy. Okay. So we had partners, real partners, men and women together there. And in 2018 is when we decided to split.
Okay.
Friendly.
Then
Trilogy started getting more partners like PrestaShop, like CommerceTool, like Shopify, WordPress, etc. And we are official partners and with maximum rating or whatever, level, etc. In, for example, PrestaShop or even Shopify, etc. And Logicommerce, we started getting other partners, so competitors of Trilogy, which is, I think, is healthy for Logicommerce too. So now we have more than 15 partners at Logicommerce implementing, distributing our solution. So this is perhaps my biggest mistake, that I should have done this before.
And the reason is because you want to have a clear focus for each areas, probably.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about mistakes. About what are the biggest mistakes you see when you are looking at other online stores, and you have seen a lot of online stores. So what would you say? Okay, this is really not a good thing to do.
Many people think that they have the brilliant idea in some special functionalities. They invest a lot of money, and they don't listen sometimes to the experts. Yeah, not only in Trilogy. I have seen many other, let's say, competitors of Trilogy. My partners also are now, they know that we have this. And we all sometimes we speak and we say this. And then they invested a lot of money in that idea.
I mean, give us a concrete example of one. You don't have to name the store. I mean, so we can really understand, you know, if you look at the store, they did this and this because they thought that was a brilliant idea, but it is not.
always based in e-commerce. Huh? So like having some functionality on that e-commerce that would say, man, don't do that because it will not work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a long time ago, for example, in subscriptions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Many people think that the subscription is something that it would work.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that, well,
this is not working.
This is not working most of the times.
Okay.
Yeah. Because some products are not suitable for being under subscription. Yeah. No, it's not a Netflix.
Of course not. Of course not.
I mean, I'm not going to buy a pair of socks or 10 pair of socks every 3 months. Yeah.
Very, it is interesting that you say that because we have a customer in Germany called Snarks.com, and Snarks.com is exactly doing this. Mm-hmm. They are selling at least at the beginning, I think, and quite successfully. I mean, they manage something like they're doing I don't know, but nearly 100 million euro a year. So I think it probably depends on how you position your products, etc. But
and the market
and a different market. Let's think.
Perhaps this in Germany works, but
exactly.
Here no.
And that's the reason why I was coming back to the Spanish market and say, if you look at, for instance, what does the typical Spanish consumer expect when he go on a website? Is there? I want to see. Big pictures, I want to, what is that? Is there anything like that? Or you would say, or it depends on?
It depends on the sector.
On the sector, obviously.
I mean, fashion should show pictures, beautiful pictures.
Yeah.
We have a very beautiful, nice customer since a long time ago at Trilogy and Logic Commerce, which is called SOSA, is a big brand here.
Okay.
But the pictures that they have are super high resolution.
Okay.
They're very focused on that.
Super.
But brands also like Caja de Carton,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not a sector that also they are in trusted shops, or Anamora, that they are also. Let's take the example of Anamora. The pictures that they have are beautiful.
Mm.
They take care of the image very well.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other sectors, and I'm going now to the Caja de Carton, like boxes for selling products.
Yeah, yeah.
They also have very nice pictures, but they focus more on the specifications.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you want to see clearly what do I buy.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
So it depends. It really depends. And depends on also the market. You need to show the products in one way or another.
Of course.
So you need to get into the culture understanding to enter into Spain in this case.
What about the financial security for online shopper in Spain? Is it something which is important for them? I mean, making sure that they're not losing their money, etc., by buying online, or is it something which is different?
A few years ago, yes, it was an issue.
Yeah.
But now I think this issue worry, it has completely disappeared. The security that we have right now with all the payment tools are completely covered.
And with trusted shops, of course.
And moreover, with trusted shops, they have this warranty
that
they don't have perhaps with other solutions.
Exactly.
That this is a plus.
Yeah.
And these brands need to be, not only brands basically, because brands need to know.
Of course.
But moreover, this needs to be shown in the website to the final customer that if something happened, there is someone there that is taking care of.
Okay.
And this is, for me, this is the key point of showing that all the specifications that it's trusted now
trusted,
is giving to the final customer.
Yeah. So let's before we are coming nearly to the end of our conversation already. So let me ask you, if you let's take the time machine together, and you were starting fresh today, what would you focus on? What would be your recommendation? Because we have listeners thinking about creating a business or creating an online store, would you have said, "Oh yeah, if I was to start now, I would do this"? What would it be?
What it would be? Wow. I
you don't need to. If it's a secret,
yeah. No. It was in that direction. I still have one project on my desk.
Yeah.
There, all the way
Since I'm listening.
Since many years. And I think that I would do that project. I cannot tell it.
Okay.
But obviously it's online. It's my expertise. So it has to be online. And it's something that maybe I will do it one day.
Super. Okay. So it's a little bit, of course, frustrating because we don't know exactly what you're doing. But okay, you are.
But it's about loyalty.
It's about loyalty. Okay, good.
It's about loyalty.
Okay. Marius, it was really great talking to you today in Barcelona, in your home turf.
Yes.
And I'm so glad I have the opportunity to see the sun finally here in Barcelona. So that's a wrap for this episode of the Community of Trust. I hope you picked up valuable and practical tips that can apply to your online store. Of course, if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the podcast and, of course, leave a review.
Of course.
As we know. Because it helps us, of course, reach more online merchants and partners. You can find some more insights and valuable resources at trustedshops.com and, of course, become part of our community. So I want to thank you, Marius, for this conversation. That's just really great to see how you develop your business and to learn a few insights about the regional specificities in Spain. So thank you for listening and see you for the next episode and best of luck for your online business.